Welcome to the Victor Collins Asabre podcast. We pray the Holy Spirit will speak to you and stir you up as you listen to this anointed, transformative, and down-to-earth teaching by Bishop Collins. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Enjoy the message.
Father, tonight, the last night of our convention, thank you for what you're doing already. Continue to work on us. Continue to minister to us. Let your will be done tonight. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. You may be seated, please, in the presence of the Lord. You see what we're... Many of you have been around me for years. Unfortunately, you've gotten used to me. Because what we experience here, a lot of people have never experienced that in their life before. You don't even understand what I'm saying. Karen used to go to St. James the Less on David Street. Did you ever see the things that you see here? This church is the first time you experience certain things. And there are still more people out there who don't know what we are talking about. But yet, it's unfortunate that you will not tell people about it. Yeah. That's why when you stay in a church for a long time, you become funny. Because you get used to all the things that goes on. Falling down is nothing to you anymore. Because it's a normal thing. You see how some people are afraid when people fall down? Yeah. I was listening to a man of God, and he was saying that he was doing the altar call, and he says that this is a moment for you to admit that you're a sinner. To admit. He said it very beautifully. He says that if you meet somebody you love, if you meet somebody like that, you admit that this person is a very wonderful person. Never let this person go. Then he says that the next thing you have to do is to commit. So when you admit that you are a sinner, then you have to commit. Because you have to admit something that you didn't know. Oh, yes, I admit. Then he says, after admitting and committing, then you submit. The fourth one is what is very nice. He says, then you transmit. And he says that unfortunately, many people, they admit, they commit, they submit, but they never transmit. And that's just what I was just talking about a few seconds ago, that we don't seem to be able to carry on, be able to present the things that we go through to others. There are many out there who would love to experience the things that you've been experiencing for years. Mark chapter 15. Is our scripture. Admit, commit, submit, and transmit. Yeah. He's a guy who I saw an interview of him on TBN one day. I think he said he was in a plane, he was going to preach somewhere, and he was sitting next to somebody who was talking about what they do in life. Some businessman, business tycoon, some big something. Then he asked him, the preacher, what do you do? He says he works for a global organization. You remember the video? He said, wow. He said, yeah, we have agencies and outlets all over the world. I said, wow, that must be a big company. He said, yes.
said, so what do you do? He said, oh, we take care of people from the time they are born to the time they die. He said, wow. I mean, the simple thing is that he was just a pastor. But the way he presented what he does compared to what the guy was talking about, then the guy actually realized that he is a major man. Presentation sometimes is very important. You may have a very good idea, but how you present it may be a problem. And many people don't know how to transmit the love of God, transmit the testimonies and the experiences you go through with Christ here. Let me say something. That's why nobody follows you, because you're not a good communicator. Oh yes. You can't transfer. You can't transmit. You can't let another person understand and feel what you're feeling. It's a skill. It's a skill. And that which you have, if you are able to communicate it well, you see that others will be affected by what is on your life. What is on my life? I've been communicating it. Oh yes. It is you who has not been able to communicate what you have been getting. It's true. So I hope your bus works tomorrow by the grace of God. You need angels, I tell you. We'll talk later tonight when everybody else is gone. Mark chapter 15, verse 25. What does the scripture say? And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. I'm sure if we were to look at New Living Translation, it will probably be a little clearer. Or the third and the sixth and the ninth that some people are confused about. Okay, you see? It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. I don't have to explain myself. Is it not clear? We are not talking about the third hour. Then you are wondering, what is the third hour? I think Pastor Andrew was doing some research last night and he sent me, I said, brother, your research is too far. It's like a university degree you want to get or something. Yeah. There are explanations around the clock out there that you can consult. So it was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. You go to verse 33, the Bible says that, and when the what does the New Living Translation say? At noon, as for noon, you know what is noon, isn't it? At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. That's why our Good Friday services are 3 o'clock. Why don't you do Good Friday service in the morning so that people can go home and be with their family? We are very moved by what people feel and what people think. Should I say it again? Yeah. So we spend some money and put some sand there. I say, go and park there. If you get stuck, come and put water on the sand. All of you are saying, well, we should put water on the sand. What the last time you came here to do some work? If you come and see me here sitting down with a bobcat, and the way you come, your car is stuck, then you don't let me change my message. You don't do nothing here, but your mouth is big when you come here. Living in Africa, you don't give offering as you should give. You are trying to create something. You are trying. And you never get stuck. We have vehicles, we can pull you out even if you get stuck. You can go into the deep, we will take you out. I tell you. Yeah. We've been to Mandia and all these places. Where were you there upon? But you should appreciate. Oh, so come early. Come and fetch some water. And water the place. You see, you see, I'm your pastor and I'm training you and I'm preaching. So I do so many things at the same time. If I was from abroad and I come, I'll just preach the message and I'll go. He's always a nice pastor. Because I'm with you here, I have to correct you. I have to mix it. That's the type of food you get from me. It's a mixed cook-up.
If I came from abroad, I wouldn't know your behavior. I would talk to you nicely, and I'll be one of the nicest pastors who visits the Good Shepherd Church. But you should understand the total package you are getting as somebody who lives among you. You see, when you grow up, okay, ask your neighbor, are you grown or you are still a child? Yeah. The proud people will be offended by what you are saying. Yeah, if you are proud, you don't even be able to say what I'm saying. But when you grow up, you learn to understand that people have good sides about them, irrespective of the other sides. Because when we come to the church and sometimes when you're in relationships, you want every side to be good. But you have to appreciate good sides in people. Because even you as a person, you have a very bad side. So when I was coming to the cathedral, I saw Brother Rudy. He was at a car park. He was using the wood to push the sand, level the place. Ah. If you look at you, nice, goody, 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 goody. If you look at you, if we put you there, you be in your car and you sleep. Don't you care about him? I know what I'm talking about. He's leveling the sand because, I mean, so that it will be a little easier. Because some of the places have a lot of sand. The weather is dry, so it's a little difficult for some heavier vehicles to go on. He doesn't have to do that. So if you think Rudy is a bad man, you think about yourself more. You are the bad person. You are the bad person. He's making the place easier so that what I want to do will work. And we are saying, if it rains and we can't park there, then so be it. But at least we tried something. Because there's a lot of things we are going to do here. We have to start helping you understand. Because even now, you don't understand it. When we close, you move your car and park on the road. You can't move your car. You move your car when you're going home. You see, even that we have to tell you. And you thought that you knew everything. You take your car, you can park it right in front of Macario's house. They park it on the dam. Go home! When you move your car from a parking lot, what do? You go home! If you're not ready to go home, then flow around. Your car has become like some wife or husband with you. You can't leave your car. You move your car forward. You said, are you not tired of driving a car? So it's when you're ready to go that you move your car. When you come back, you go back to the parking. Because when everything is set, you can't move your car anywhere, you know. There's no place when you move your car. You must go through Jerusalem. You must go out of the gate. When you finish the setup, you can't move your car to another point. You want to go to the restaurant, you have to walk. You want to go to the Una Rata, you have to walk. You want to go to the office block for some people, you have to walk. So if you enable work, Charlie, you should go to Georgetown Church. Or go to Pearl. Or go let them. We have churches you can go to. You can park right there. You just want 1, 2, 3, you're inside the church. But here, we have 9 acres and we want to be free on the 9 acres. We cannot be restricted. You should come and park your car right here. You get up and you walk into the church. Ah. So when you see, well, Rudy is there. He's on duty tonight at a car park to help you park. You should go to the Macario's house where I dwell and look at the parking. The cars are so. Every car is so. The cars are not straight. That's why when you're going to park, they put a line. If you understand why they put lines. And some people still park on the line. Isn't it beautiful? So
order is coming. Because in the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. And so please get used to it, okay? You belong to a nice church. There are people who go to church, there's nowhere to park. When they park, they are wandering. They are folding their mirrors. They are taking everything out of the car. Alarm is on because they don't know who is going to come. We have people. Oh, man. You don't like this one here, sir? Just for some small walking, you will be able to walk. A time will come. You can't even come here. There will be a barricade. How the police do? You don't have any business here. You don't drive here. Oh, you don't like the church?
No, you don't like it.
It's coming. Yeah. It's coming. The ship is falling. They have a lot of things to do. They have a long way to go. But I'm saying that with all the talking, sometimes you'll be complaining. And it's even me you are talking against. Because I'm in charge of the police. All the things that go on, I am the one who is doing it. So when you come and you see things, it's actually me you're abusing. Oh yes, no, you have to be careful when you come here and make comments. You hear what I say? You have to be careful when you come here and make comments. You are actually going to say something against me. Because 99.9% of the things that happens here, I am the one who is doing them. Except spreading the sand. It's really who's doing it, but he's doing it to help my work. Yeah. And so Anna should love him with all her heart. Yeah. There's always a good side of a person. And if you don't understand those things, you'll be always be dissatisfied about the person you say you love and you are in a relationship with. You always have problems. And then you'll be a very ungrateful person because there's a side that is nice that you have actually taken for granted. Mark chapter 15. Is that not what we're talking about? It's a mixture. See, if I was a visiting minister, I would not even say this. I'll say, wow, you have a car park. It's wow. I'll not know all the problems and even make comments about it. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. At 12 o'clock, that is 3 hours later, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock, 6 hours later. And so my message, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and tonight, it's just to help you understand that there was a particular 6 hour in on a particular 24 hour day that means so much to you, and it should mean so much to you. On Good Friday, that's why we even call it Good Friday. Every other Friday is bad. Have you realized that they also want to make one Friday, the 13th, a very scary Friday? Don't spoil the Friday, but so that's why we needed a good Friday. No matter which Friday you're talking about, there is a particular Friday that is good. It's a good Friday. You can't stay home on a good Friday. Anybody who stays home, when you get diarrhea, yeah, yeah. Good Friday, you don't stay home. Even when you don't pass your CXC, you go for graduation. You go. That thing marvels me. People don't pass CXC. And when they say, you go and take graduation gown, and they go and they say they are graduating. You are graduating? What are you graduating about? The Monday to Friday you went to school, it is an achievement? I see. Maths 5. English 5. Social studies 4.5. Agriculture science 3. English A, English B, 4. Then they say graduation. But you could wear some short dress with your baby showing wig and eye wig with a graduation gown. What are you graduating about? You made it? You have to make it with a good grades. When you hear graduation, you should cry. See, all of that is bad training. Because it makes you feel like you have achieved something when you didn't achieve anything. After all the night of graduating, wind up, drink cup, all of that, they will see, what is your next plan? You day home. People going to do nursing. People going to do CPC. People going to UG. You day home. You graduated to stay home. If nobody will tell you, I will tell you. Yeah, Mr. Big Shot, Madam Big Shot. Anytime you are celebrating, make sure that there's something to celebrate. Something very meaningful to celebrate. You know, when I was getting married, I didn't do these things that people do. Eight people behind you, eight people behind a man, eight people behind a woman. Because if I a person, the eight people, I have to pay for their dress. Oh yeah. It's not you want people come walk behind you? It's you wonder. I'm just helping you. I'm talking about 6 hours one Friday, right? You see, and all these things doesn't even make us recognize achievements. Because on the surface, we think that everything is just normal. No, where I come from, where I was born and I grew up, if I want 20 people behind to walk behind me, I can get it. The only thing is that I will have to buy their suit for them. That is why you hear the proverb, you cut your coat according to your size. You hang your hat where your hand can reach. I said, no. We want to marry and have 20 people behind us and they bought their clothes. So all the niceness at the wedding is not you make it, it's the people make it. You are not what you are proclaiming or are trying to portray to be. You got nothing. It's just like dressing up, going for graduation, and your English was 8. Maths was 9.5. Agriculture was 12. And you still dress up with face makeup. And then your mother will put your picture on Facebook say, congratulations to my daughter, who got 9.5 in English A. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. To God be the glory. Congratulations. Then you see the whole world say, congratulations. Congrats. Well done. Keep it up. 9.5 English A. Do you know the details? Do you really know the details? Do you really know the details? You see, as Christians, we have to really be open, be honest, and do things right. So, but here in our culture, you can have people following you and you didn't pay for their clothes.
Even your seat, you didn't buy it. Then it is not a surprise how you can manage a woman. It's not a surprise. It's not a surprise. Even the cake, it was donated. It wasn't money. So somebody donated the wedding cake. So the whole wedding, your money is not inside, and you've come with your suit, and you come to stand at the altar, and you are chewing somebody's daughter's mouth and chewing. You want to, it's not chewing gum, it's not gum. It's not chocolate. Am I saying something? Yeah. Yeah. So when my son one day told me that his class is full of children, they behave like childish. I said, okay, big man, top the class. Then I'll know that you are the big man in this class. Once you top the class, I'll lift you up on my shoulders and say, behold the big man in the class. Behold, I'll do Hosanna for you. If you don't top the class, don't tell me that somebody is childish in the class. Because it's children who top the class. Are you big man? You don't top the class. Be careful how you say it. It's not how you appear. And so from 12 o'clock, from 9 o'clock, 10, 11, right up to 3 o'clock on Good Friday, it was not an ordinary day. It wasn't an ordinary 6 hours. Just like you see, from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock at your workplace on Friday, you even go in jeans and t-shirt. So your mind is that today I'm not going to work. And the system is very similar to the system I was born in Ghana. In Ghana, people, you know, we play football. Ghana is a football nation. And so sometimes on Fridays, the football in the stadium, match starts around 2 o'clock. So people go for lunch and they don't come back. Their team is playing football match. Friday, in most disorganized workplaces, Friday is a very lazy day. In fact, it's a global thing because this TGIF is a global thing. In fact, there are some sports, there are some drinking places that are named TGIF. It means that when it's Friday, after work, it's like, my boss man has used me for 5 days. Abba, let me go and breeze out. Most Fridays, when people close, they head to the seawall even before they think about going home. But I'm saying that, and the Bible is teaching us that the Friday that Jesus died, especially when he was nailed to the cross at 9 o'clock, he was on the cross for 6 hours, and it is not a normal 6 hours. It wasn't a joke. So I heard the pastor say, don't wear a cross as a jewelry. He says he finds a problem with people who put crosses around their neck. He says if you understand the cross, you carry it. You don't put it around your neck. Because the one who introduced a cross, he didn't put it around his neck as a jewelry. A cross earring. Cross necklace. Are you feeling nice? You think the cross is feeling nice? Can you imagine what the 6 hours, what was inside those 6 hours? T- to a casual person, that 9 a.m. crucifixion to the 3 o'clock, it is finished. Giving up the ghost. It's of no interest. No big deal. There's nothing about it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, God walks among men in a very unusual or in a very usual way. Should I say that again? The supernatural is hidden in the natural. Am I becoming more complicated? I can become extra complicated if you like. The supernatural is hidden in the natural. You can meet an angel and you think that you've met a human being. You can drive safely home and you think that you're a good driver. So one sister was telling me that anytime she's going home in the night, a white car, it has been different models, a white car will always drive ahead of her until she's turning off the main road to her house. To a casual person, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. was just another 9 a.m., was another 12 noon, lunchtime, Bible club time, period time, social studies time, was a normal day. That is why many people do not fully experience God, because when God comes our way, we don't recognize Him. In fact, some people even get offended if you are trying to point out that, oh, this is God. The last time I'm speaking to you is God who's speaking to you. Some people become offended and say, oh, what does He mean by that? Is He God? But on that very Friday, God Himself was on the cross. In the form of His Son. Have you seen God on a cross before? It happened 2000 and something years ago. Many people are very casual. I said many people are very casual. Many Christians are very casual. They don't look too deep into things. It's casual. It's normal. It's okay. Nothing really important, nothing really special. Many Christians are casual. And you are missing a lot. As you remain casual. On that Friday between 9 and 3, the creator of the universe was being executed. He was being executed. Can you believe it? The one who created the world on that day, those 6 hours on that Friday, He was being executed. The creator of the universe. It wasn't a normal Friday. I'm sure those of you who have children, some of your deliveries have not been a normal delivery. Do I have people who have given birth to children before? So let me feel you. Let me feel your that you understand what I'm talking about. You have 1, 2, or 3 children or two. The deliveries are not the same. Even the pregnancies are not the same. Some of them it goes smoothly. Some of them is very difficult. And for many people, they don't even take note of the ones that are difficult and think deep that there is some plan, there is something about this. Winchester, are you here? There is something about this there's a reason why this pregnancy is like this. All they say is that it was a difficult pregnancy. Very, very casual. Very casual. Very casual. That's why even when we are doing Easter convention, it will not move you. Because you are too casual. And I'm warning you that that casualness about you will make you miss a lot of deep interactions with God, because God is a casual God. Yes, as the devil is also a casual devil. I was praying for one of my church members the other day, because I saw that her behavior had changed in the church. So I called her to my office and we're talking, and I said, let me pray for you. Then as I prayed for the person, some demons came out. But I asked the demons about how and all of that. So when the whole session was over, I asked the person, where do you work? And the person told me. I said, stop that job. It's a good job. Not many hours. Why is the bishop telling me to stop my work? What kind of bishop is this? Will he feed me if I leave the job? How am I going to live? But from the surgery I organized, I discovered that the job that she was doing, the exchange of money, the holding of money and changing of money, that is how a demon entered into her life. Money going out. The money has all kinds of things with it. You are too casual. God was on the cross. The creator of the universe was being executed. Spit and blood are caked in his cheek. Do you know people spat on him? Are you aware of that? Early morning ones, because remember, 9 a.m. He was arrested the night before. On a night like this, he was betrayed. After the communion, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Then Judas came with his people. Yeah. A night like this, Thursday night. And they held him all the way. At 9 o'clock, they put him on the cross. They didn't sleep. Some people woke up to the noise. So they say, who is that? These thieves. Last time I lost my iPad, I didn't know whose thief it. It must be him. Let me go and help beat him. You are too casual. You see somebody who is nice and attractive, you don't think deep. You take off your panties. You are too casual. When something has to go inside of you, you have to be very careful about what is going inside of you. You don't care. As long as you get chow mein, it's okay. Chicken fried rice, it's okay. You top up your phone for you, it's okay. His lips were cracked and swollen. Thorns rip his scalp. His lungs scream with pain. His legs knot with cramps. You know he was going through cramps? Cramps. Stretched and tight nerves threatened to snap because of the pain in his body. And with all of the things that he was going through, death was not ready. For 6 hours, Death was not ready for him. And there's no one to save him. Because it's he who chose to be arrested, to be murdered. So there was nobody else to save him. There was no savior. It is no normal 6 hours. It is no normal 6 hours. There's no normal 6 hours. Apart from the breaking of his body, is the shredding of his heart. So not only was his body going through so much, but his heart also. His heart also. Why? His own Guyanese demanded his death. His own countrymen. Jews. Abraham's descendant. His own race. He's a black man. Today I was talking to a guy and we were talking about the clay brick factory somewhere here when you go to Bell West. And I just noticed that I didn't realize I was talking to an Indian until I asked whether it's Burnham who built it. And he said he doesn't know. When he said he doesn't know, then I clicked that, I'm asking the wrong person the wrong question. Because it's Burnham who built a clay brick factory. It's clear. Congress Place, Culture Center. Clay brick is Burnham who introduced that design. And he organized a factory right at the back here. Big complex that has now a lot of trees and wheat and which issue. One day I'll drive you there. When Bell West Bridge, don't go into it. Go straight down here. A huge complex that is, rotting, is run down for years. Maybe that is even why no party, none of these people want to touch it, because it's Burnham built it. And we have a certain crazy spirit in our country where when a black person touches something, an Indian person won't touch it. When an Indian person will touch something, a black person won't touch it. Look at Jubilee Park, right next to the office of the president. Why? Because it's built by a black man. People go there and jog. People are making use of the place. Why don't you maintain it? What is wrong with it? Say he doesn't know. Then I said, I say in my head, wrong person to have this discussion. See, the person is not a novice. The person knows things in the area. Don't tell me. Even say when they were kids, they used to go and play in that complex. And there was, because of the clay brick the way they used to dig the soil for the clay brick, there's a blue pool, like the linden blue. They used to, swim inside. If you can tell me all this story, you don't know who built the place? It's like, I heard Babu John. You know Babu John? Do you know Babu John? You don't know Babu John? You just hear it. That's a VP who go and cuss up and all of that. They say Babu John. I use the road to Suriname. I'll see Babu John. So one day I say, you know what? A Jagan Memorial or something. I said, one day I'll go and see it. So I went off the road. Oh, I beg you, please. Give me a break. When you see the big signboard that Janet and Chedi are buried there, you think some. But you see, Even think about it. I don't know why I'm saying this. But I'm talking about, not only was Jesus' body in pain and almost going, he's going into, it's like he was getting to relapse, but his heart. Just how come Barnabas is buried somewhere else that is not a private cemetery, and Chedi is buried somewhere where it's a private cemetery? Even in death, there's discrimination. It's a very fantastic country we live in. I thought that once you're a president and you die, there should be a place where we bury our presidents. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in the sight of the country. But Seven Ponds, you have the black in at the Seven Ponds, you have the straight hair somewhere. And people will travel and cross the Babis River to go and pay homage to it when it can be done right here in the botanical gardens in town. Jesus is our own countryman. He demanded his execution. It is right here that I say things and I preach, thinking that I'm talking to my church members, I'm talking to people who love me. Then you go and hear it outside. Then they record me. I don't know when and how. Somebody, we heard that I'm talking about Kester Dean in the church. The person went to cut the clip of my podcast and send it to Kester Dean, and he abused me on Facebook. We are all watching. Are you not watching? It's not everybody you can abuse, you know. There is not every, no matter, there are some, you see, let me tell you something. You are too casual. There are some people, they will annoy you. There are some people, they will annoy you. There are some people, when they annoy you, you can abuse. There are some you can't abuse. And the reason why, or the reason why you can't abuse is that when you abuse them, something bad will happen to you. It was Miriam and Aaron who went to talk about Moses. And there was some fancy girl he dealt with. And according to the books, he's wrong. You're doing your own thing. And this one, we are your brethren. We have to correct you because it's not good. The Bible says God heard it. As much as it was Aaron and Miriam, it was only Miriam who got leprosy. Aaron went scot-free. He was the one who created a golden calf for the people. When Moses came, the people were punished. Moses was free and Aaron was free. There are some people, you see, you are too casual. There are some pastors you can talk about, but there are some pastors you can't talk about. There are some pastors you can betray, but there are some when you betray, you'll die. You ask Judas. Are you too casual? So I'm here with my countrymen. I was talking to a pastor the other day. I told you. First few minutes, the guy's face was straight. I was wondering, I don't have anything against this guy. And in the course of the conversation, he said, I heard you were preaching about me in your church in a negative way. I mean, who on earth leaves this fellowship and goes to tell another pastor that my pastor is talking about you? What kind of spirit do you have? And I've mentioned people's names here preaching. As a form of illustration, as some examples to teach and explain some messages and some statements better. I never said I have anything against anybody in this country. And some of my friends or some of the people I used to relate with, now they don't mind me. When they see me, they smile and they pass. And I wonder, what happened? What happened? What happened? Abigail, you know some of them. What happened? When we were nothing, when we were in a small corner, there's some of them were relating with us. Now, they don't wear nothing at all. You wonder, has somebody gone to tell somebody? Jesus' own countrymen. Not only was he in pain, was blood flowing on his face and all of that, but his heart was aching. His own people said, kill him. They said, not Barabbas. He said, release Barabbas. Barabbas was a rapist. He was a wicked man. He was a thief. He was a bandit. Worse. Pilate asked, Barabbas or Jesus? He said, must kill Jesus. Release Barabbas. Have you not seen that among ourselves, we fight among ourselves all the time? And for some of you, it's because I am a bit of a foreigner. That's why you come here. If I was a Guyanese, you would never come. True or false? His heart was shredding. Because his own disciple planted a kiss of betrayal. You don't kiss to betray. Kissing is a very intimate thing. I mean, if you kiss me, if somebody kisses you, what would you feel? It's not love you feel. Is it? That is why even we are too superficial that when somebody kisses you, you think they love you. Some of them don't love you. It's just your mouth that they feel like biting. That's all. They just like to chew your mouth. That there's no deep feeling about you at all. But you're too superficial and you think that when somebody kisses you up, it means that, oh, they love you. Yeah. You are too casual. Some girls have discovered it, that if a guy sees you on the road, they say, that it doesn't mean anything. So they get vexed when you do that to them. They abuse. And they walk straight. Because they have at least that trick. They know that this thing, it is too superficial. Because even a dog, you can do. And I'm not a dog. Guy who was in charge of the finance, the money of the small group, he came. Nobody knew where Jesus was at that time of the night. Nobody heard me talk about a pastor in the church from the outside. It is somebody from inside. Nobody knew. They went for the Lord's Supper. They went to the garden. The itinerary was... That's why sometimes you don't even have to know things ahead of time. Oh, so what's the plan? There's no plan. Who's he? Well, don't we get the road of plan? Because for some people, if you outline, you give them the plan from now to... You see that? They'll come and kiss you. Can you imagine a man kissing a man? It's affection. It's love. Men don't kiss men. But in that culture, the kissing of a man is a lot of respect, admiration, and affection. And Judas came. He didn't even go and hide behind a tree and say, watch. The one with the long beard, is he? He came with the people who wanted to get. He came and he went to Jesus as like it was a normal thing. And he kiss Jesus, he had already told the people, the one I will kiss, not Peter, I will never kiss Peter.
He's tagged this, he's tagged this, Peter is a culture. I will never say, the one I kiss, that's the one you must pick up. Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? You can imagine his heart.
So as he was on the cross, not only was he going through physical pain, but emotionally, his heart was bleeding. As his body was bleeding, his heart was bleeding. He said, hey! So can you imagine, if I was not a Jew, I will never last in this country for 1 second.
His heart was bleeding because the people he called friends, they had all run away. A friend in need. Francis, are you there? Don't bow your head when I'm preaching. A friend in need is a friend indeed.
Oh, his friends had run away.
Those who said, I'll die with you. Those who took out a sword and cut off somebody's ear. Now is the time you have to come and be juking people with your sword. Where is he?
So you wonder, so all these 3 years that I've been traveling with these people, sleeping in places, giving them food, talking to them, praying with them, now that I am in trouble, hey! Is that how people are?
His friends run for cover. His own father is now beginning to turn his back on him, leaving him alone. His own father beginning to turn his back on him. As I said, my father, why hast thou forsaken me? Now a witness could not help but ask, Jesus, do you give no thought to saving yourself?
You know, somebody said, why don't you save yourself? Do you have to go through all of this?
Have you ever thought about yourself? Have you ever thought about your life? Can you not feel the pain? Have you not seen that people have left you in the middle of nowhere? Can you not just get off this cross?
It was not a normal Friday.
Because on every other day, he could do anything. Bring water, he will turn it into wine. Bring a blind, he will open the eyes. Bring a beggar, he will give him something. Bring this, bring that, he will do things. But on this particular day, people were wondering, why don't you get off the cross? What keeps you there? What is keeping you on this cross? What is keeping you? What will keep you from preaching? What will keep you preaching? Karen, what will keep you preaching? That the thing that will keep you doing what you are doing for God, it must be the 6 hours. On that Friday. You know, many people can be a pastor for a long time. I wonder what you can be for a long time. Daddy, isn't it? I wonder if you cannot be God's messenger for a long time. I wonder what you can be in your life for a long time. I wonder. Unfaithfulness to the greatest, highest degree. You can love a man for the rest of your life. I doubt that. You can work in a place for a long time for people to trust you. I wonder. You can be in a relationship for a long time with somebody else. I wonder. You cannot be a Christian for the rest of your life. And I don't believe you can do anything for anything long. What kept him on the cross? Do you think that if it was you, you'd be on the cross? Have you not heard of the Chinese Jesus? Jehovah, do you know the Chinese Jesus? Your father didn't tell you about the Chinese Jesus? You don't listen? Okay, your father told you, but you didn't listen. Okay. Yeah. Chinese Jesus. No! What kind of nonsense is that? I should die on a cross. Why are they born? For who? Them people? Nah. Never. Nah. I'm now. Hey, Father. Now. I don't know whether there's a movie of that. We should find it. There's a Chinese crucifixion. A Chinese man, they were acting this, the cross, Easter. And they put him on they were going to kill him on the cross. When they nailed him to the cross, he jumped down. He jumped and said, wah, wah, wah. Gotcha, whoo, whoo, wah. He said he's not dying at all on the cross. What do you mean by that? Yes, I know. I'm sure we are all Chinese Jesuses. No, many of us can't do anything for a long time. Even three-night convention, you can't come every night. Hey! No. It speaks. You are like a hollow block. A four-inch block. That when we are using you to build a house, we have to fill you. We have to put cement inside of you. Think about it very deeply. You are too casual. Think about it very deeply. Like if you can't come consecutively, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, when many people are doing it, there's something about you that has to change. What kept him on the cross? And that you can't commit to anything serious. Just the ones that are convenient. Just the ones that you feel you can do. Nothing serious, nothing deep. What kept him on the cross? A witness asked him, do you not give thought of saving yourself? What keeps you there? What holds you to the cross? What makes you stay? 6 hours to die. They put you on this cross. You know you're in there. Then why don't you just get down and maybe drink some poison or something? What keeps you? What makes you stay? Now, if you think about this 6 hours end, on this Friday, and three things come to mind, and it should stay with you. Your life is not futile. There's a purpose to your life. Do you get it? Your life is not futile. All the things that are going on in your life, it doesn't make your life a useless life. I'm telling you, that is what kept him on the cross. It makes your life worth living. I said, it makes your life worth living in the midst of all the things that you have been through. Your life is worth living. Your life is not futile because it is because of you that he stayed on the cross. If he had jumped off the cross, then I can tell you that your life is a waste life. Your life is useless. But he kept, he stayed there. He remained there. Just for you that your life be a useful and a meaningful life. Thank you.
The song says, if love endured the ancient cross, how precious is my Savior's blood. Beauty of heaven wrapped in my shame. The image of love upon death's frame. If having my heart was worth the pain, what joy could you see beyond the grave? If love found my soul worth dying for, how wonderful, how glorious. My Savior's scars, victorious. My chains are gone, so I can live a good life, a better life. My debt is paid, I don't owe any longer. From death to life, grace to grace. That 6 hours on that Friday makes your life worth living. It's not futile. Number two, your failures are not fatal. It's okay to make mistakes because your failures will not kill you. That's why he stayed on the cross. Who has made mistakes? Has anybody made mistakes before? Worst mistakes? Am I talking to human beings or am I talking to angels? I know I'm not talking to any demon here. There's no demon in this church. Your failings, your mistakes, your errors, they are not fatal. It means they are not death threatening. It's okay to make a mistake. It's okay. Because he stayed on the cross for those mistakes to be taken care of. That's why he stayed. That's why he didn't jump off. He didn't jump down. If you had jumped down, then any little mistake you have made or you made in your life, it will kill you. It's fatal. But your failures are not fatal. It's a season. A better season will come. After the rain, the sun will shine again. And there's light at the end of the tunnel. There's hope for the future. Hey, he's there. He's there. He's waiting. Better days are ahead. It's not the end. And your death is not final. Many people die and their death is final. But when you and I die, because he stayed on the cross, our death is not the end of the story. In fact, the other chapter now begins. Those 6 hours on a Friday means your life is not futile. Your failures are not fatal. Your death is not final. Stand to your feet, please.
For booking and more information on the ministry of Victor Collins, please call us on 592-691-5301 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. God richly bless you.